I want to read from Isaiah 51. We've been talking about staying centered. And this morning I want to just begin to talk a little bit about the wonderful theme in Scripture about Christ being our rock. It's a great theme. I love to take themes that you can trace all the way through the Bible from beginning to end. And the word rock is one of those. How many of you have a Bible app on your phone that you use? Most of you? You should get one. They're easily accessible and usable. I recommend them. There are a number of them available, most of them free. But if you wanted to just look at the word rock, it's amazing. Maybe 120 times throughout Scripture from beginning to end. Who can just help me quickly think of a verse about rock? The Lord is my rock and my salvation. Somebody else. Say it, Phil. Say it loud and proud.
Psalm 18:31 says,
"Who is God except the Lord, and who is a rock besides our God?" The wise man built his house on the come on, people, there it's 100-something times.
On this rock
I will build my church. Christ himself being the cornerstone, the corner rock. Anybody else?
Look,
say it, Deb, I'm sorry.
Look to the rock
from which you were cut. That's the passage we'll read this morning. Thank you, dear. He lifted me out of the miry clay and set my feet on the rock. Christ. It is good. He is the rock of my salvation. How about Moses? If you'll hit that rock, water will come out. And all 2 million of you can drink in the desert. He laid his head on the rock, made a sacrifice and offering there on the rock. That's good, Thomas. You know, the one I'm thinking about, Moses in Exodus 33 said, "Lord, if we're going to go on," this is after he had argued with God about whether or not the Lord would go with him or whether or not God would send an angel. Moses said, "Look, you're going to send an angel, I'm not going. You got to go." And he said, "Show me your glory." And the Lord said, "Well, okay, here's what we'll do. You go over here, listen, and stand on this rock. And I'm going to pass by." Listen, there's a place in the rock where I will hide you so that I won't kill you when I pass by. What does that say to us? Who's the rock in which we stand? Jesus. We can see His glory if we are hidden in the cleft of the rock. Come on, all of you old evangelicals. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock. That's not a place where you're safe from the enemy. It's a place where you're safe from the glory and power of God. That's what that story's about. He said, "I'll hide you here, and I'll pass by, and you can see me from behind, but you can't see my face." Isn't that amazing? So He hides us in Christ, our rock. And that's where we behold. Come on, as we look upon Christ, we see His glory. Okay? Anybody else? He will lead me and guide me because He is my rock and my fortress. Well, that's good. That's a pretty good overview. I think most all of those written down. Psalm 62 says, "He truly is my rock and my salvation. Therefore, I will never be shaken." Okay? Well, let's read Isaiah 51. And I want to read the first 8 verses, and they're long verses. Isaiah 51. Listen to me, That's like Jesus saying, verily, verily, okay? He's saying, hey, 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 hey! Listen to me, you who pursue righteousness and who seek the Lord. Look to the rock from which you were cut and to the quarry from which you were hewn or dug. Isn't that great? Pay attention. Look to Abraham your father, to Sarah who gave you birth. When I called him, he was but one, and I blessed him and made him many. The Lord will surely comfort Zion and will look with compassion on all her ruins. He will make her deserts like Eden, her wastelands like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness will be found in her, thanksgiving and the sound of singing. Listen to me, my people. Hear me, my nation. The law will go out from me. My justice will become a light to the nations. My righteousness draws near speedily. My salvation is on the way. Don't you love that? Who's he talking about? Jesus. He's on the way. He's coming, Nick. He's about 700 years out, but he's coming. Okay? My salvation is on the way. And my arm will bring justice to the nations. The islands will look to me and wait in hope for my arm. Lift up your eyes to the heavens. Look at the earth beneath. The heavens will vanish like smoke. The earth will wear out like a garment. That's quoted in the New Testament. And its inhabitants die like flies. But my salvation will last forever. My righteousness will never fail. Hear me, you who know what is right, you people who have my law in your hearts. Do not fear the reproach of men or be terrified by their insults. For the moth will eat them up like a garment. The worm devour them like wool. My righteousness will last forever. My salvation through all generations. Well, look to that rock. You're cut from that. You're cut from that part, that dynamic that will never fail and that will last. Okay? One scripture quickly in Hebrews chapter 12. Chapter 12, verse 26, a familiar verse to many of you. Verse 25, see to it that you do not refuse him who speaks. If they did not escape when they refused him who warned them on earth, how much less will we if we turn away from him who warns us from heaven? At that time his voice shook the earth. Now he has promised once more, I will shake not only the earth, but also the heavens. Not sure what all that means. Except that the words once more indicate the removing of what can be shaken, that is, created things. So that, what? Only that which cannot be shaken, Robert, will be left standing. Look to the rock from which you were hewn. It's the only thing that's going to be left standing in the end. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. What a wonderful passage. God is the original mover and shaker. Always separating, dividing, beginning in the beginning. God separated Richie what? The night from the day. The waters from the dry land. He's always separating the holy from the unholy. I'm going to separate the sheep from the goats. I'm going to separate my people from everything else. He's a great separator. and yet he himself remains the same. The other passage that I thought about was what Daniel saw. Again, when you deal with a theme, it's fun to see it all the way through from Moses and Abraham all the way through. I thought about the dream that Daniel interpreted for Nebuchadnezzar. Anybody remember what that was? Perfectly applicable here. You, O king, y'all know the story. This is Daniel 2. The king had a dream, but he forgot it, and it bothered him. He knew he had a dream, Steve, but he forgot it. So he not only wanted somebody to interpret it, he wanted somebody to tell him what he dreamed. So he gathered all the wise men of Babylon and said, "Tell me what I dreamed." And they're saying, "Oh, king," said, "we can give you the interpretation, but you got to tell us what you dreamed." He said, "Cut the heads off. Give me somebody else that can tell me what I dreamed and what it meant." Somebody said, "There's a guy over there in jail. His name's Daniel, but he has visions and sees things." He said, "Bring him here." And sure enough, Daniel and his three friends prayed, and it says it was revealed to Daniel in a night vision. And he goes before Nebuchadnezzar, and he says, "King, the dream concerns you and your kingdom." But he said, "You saw a great statue. It had head of gold. It had chest and arms of bronze, I believe. Abdomen, feet of clay, or iron, and feet of clay." And he said, "You kept looking until you saw," what? "A rock." Say it loud and proud. Come on. Who's a rock cut out of the mountain without hands. And that rock hit the statue, crushed it, and ground it to powder. I wonder who that was. Praise God, I love that dream. Nebuchadnezzar heard only, "You are the head of gold." He didn't hear anything beyond that. But the Lord has made clear to all of us in every generation that everything around us is movable and shakable. Everything. The ground on which we stand. David said, in Psalm 62, "He truly is my rock." He said, though the mountains be removed and slough off into the heart of the sea, he said, "I will not be moved." So everything is movable. Everything. Nothing certain. Everything is shakable. But beyond that, God himself has promised to shake it. Now, I'm not a doomsday guy. I'm just saying this is part of the plan of God. He says, "I need to separate the eternal from what is created and needs to die because of its proximity to sin." He said, "The earth's got a time span. It's going to wear out." And he said, "It'll be moth-eaten. It's going to die. It's not built to last because it's corrupted by sin." How many of you know your bodies aren't built to last, are they? you're already starting to think more about heaven probably than you ever have before. Because this body is getting weary of pain and suffering. Yeah, we long for something that's indestructible. Paul said, "That's our hope. That's our glorious hope." He said, "If we have hope only in this life," he said, "you're to be pitied above all men." By the way, she was in the hospital again this week. A little internal issue, diverticulitis, so keep praying for our sister here. Let's stop right now and pray for this family. One more time. Not the last time. Lord, we pray you just come and deliver this household from sickness. We ask you, God, to raise up Nathan and Tony in a brand new way. Ask you to heal her from every kind of disease that's afflicted her. We thank you for touching her, Lord, with the Hodgkin's and ridding her body of that. Now, God, touch her, I pray. You've taught them something about longing for a better country. But now, Lord, prepare them well for the rest of this time here, where they can be useful vessels for You that testify to Your healing power and to Your coming kingdom. In Jesus' name, bless that house. Bless Nathan as its head and the one responsible for bringing the Spirit of God down into his home. Would You help him? Help him know how to pray. Help him know how to love and serve and protect. In Jesus' name, amen. Excuse me. Love you guys. I just know how hard it is when you're hit one after the other. So let's bear one another up. Say it again, Nathan. Yes, sir. Amen. I love texting with Nathan. He's always up. And he's always up in spirit. He's not moved. He said, though the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, he's testifying to God's faithfulness. I like it. I don't know what it would look like for God to shake everything. I don't know what that would look like. Most of us here in this setting, the most severe shaking we've known probably would be 9-1-1 on our soil. How many people died? 3,000 maybe? How many buildings were destroyed? Can you imagine? Not 3,000, but 30,000. Can you imagine if the big one hit L.A.? I mean, come on. It truly is unimaginable. You don't want to think about it. But think about it. If the Lord wanted to get attention. I'm serious. Think about it. Nobody saw 911 coming, and it was terrible. 3,000 is nothing to snuff at. That's many people affected. All of us affected. Every time you go through the airport, you're reminded you've been affected. But what if? He says, I got to separate. I got to show the people what is shakeable. I told the story of my granddaddy who, right the day before the crash in 1929, he could have sold his cotton for 95 cents. He said, I'm holding out for a dollar. He sold it the next week for a nickel. That's shakable. How much money you got in your pocket? It could be gone tomorrow. It could be worthless tomorrow. So I'm just saying the Lord knows how to shake. The whole Jericho thing was just a wonderful example of God showing that He can shake the earth. That was what gave Israel its reputation as they went into the land. You heard about the people that marched around that big fortified city, and all they did was blow the trumpet and the walls fell down. But the Lord wants us to know not just that things around us are shakeable, but that He's got this promise up here that He says, I just got to do it. They have to know. They have to know so they'll look to the rock from which they're cut. They got to know. And the only way they can know is if this over here begins to shake and they know they can remain unshakable. They just know. You don't know until you are shaken. You just don't. I'm fine. I'm good. How are you? I'm good, man. But before I get home today, I could be shaken. And it could be a different story. I watched the water this year with great interest. I love the Mississippi River. And I read some books. My brother has property. It's fascinating to me. We dodged a bullet. Most of you may not know. But by the grace of God, we dodged a big bullet. Record number of days the Mississippi River sat on the levees. In 1927, y'all don't even know, do you? Don't even know. 27,000 acres. North of us, around Iowa, the Mississippi River was 60 miles wide. $1 billion worth of damage in 1927. That's $1 trillion today. My father lived in Indianola, Mississippi. That's 30 miles from the river. And he rode out of his front door as a two-year-old in a boat, four-year-old, with his mama and his aunt, 3 feet deep in Indianola, Mississippi, because the levee breached at Greenville. Millions of people, 250,000 African Americans displaced for years. Cheryl knows New Orleans is below sea level, most of it. That's not good. I'm laughing to keep from crying, but I mean, you know, we dodged a bullet. I mean, just imagine. I mean, Cheryl's mom was displaced in 2011. When was the water? Was it five? Is that far? Katrina. Okay, yeah. Katrina. I'm sorry. 05. Look to the rock in which you were cut. I'm not trying to produce fear. Matter of fact, I'm trying to produce just the opposite. But you can't know that unless you look to the rock. Look to the rock. Not the shaking. Look to the rock. Shaking will continue. Again, I'm not a doomsdayer. I never have been. I've been kind of an ignorer. That's been my position. Somebody said, "Are you premillennial or postmillennial?" I said, "I'm all millennial. It'll all work out in the end." I just kind of ignoring. I don't think it's good to be ignorant or to ignore, but it's good to look to the rock from which you were cut. To be unshakable. David himself said, look, the mountains could fall into the heart of the sea. But he said, I can't let that move me. The Lord is my rock. Secondly, do not fear. Y'all know that's the most often quoted commandment in Scripture. Who knew that? Raise your hand. Cheryl knows it. Our Bible teacher Cheryl back there knew it. Y'all need to know that. It is the most common commandment in all of Scripture. So hear me today, Nick. Do not fear. Why don't you just turn to the person next to you and say it? This is what the Word of God says. Do not fear. Do not, Hal, be afraid. Though the mountains shake, don't be afraid. Look to the rock. And I think one other thing we can do is when things around us are moving, shaking. I can't imagine an earthquake. I can't imagine my feet moving. Terra firma. I can't imagine. I've never felt that. What do you say, Autumn? Ben was there. That's right. Yeah, Ben and mine. Did he talk? I'm sure you talked, yeah. Yeah. You told him to move back here, yeah. 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 But I can't imagine the earth moving under my feet. Somebody said there were a couple of newscasters live and says they dove under their desk while they were broadcasting. Very unnerving when the earth shakes. The Lord says, I want my people to know there is something over here they can trust. That no matter what happens, this isn't going to move. This isn't going to change. And he said, you're inheriting a kingdom that's unshakable. Therefore, we worship God with a holy reverence. I like to suggest, look to the rock, do not fear, and respond first, not to the shaking, but to the shaker. I always like to say, Lord, what are you saying to me? What are you doing in me in this moment? Just respond. Be good if Israel had done that. When the earth opened up and swallowed a few of them, it'd be good if they'd just say, well, Lord, what, something you want to say here? Something you want to do? Look to the rock. Amen? Look to the rock from which you were cut. The quarry from which you were dug. That's a good verse. It'd be a good theme verse for us, wouldn't it? Why don't we stand together? Let the Word of God rest in our heart. May keep this as a theme for a few weeks. I sure have enjoyed the time this morning. Next week we'll probably do something similar. But just come and enjoy the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. Bring something. Bring a story, testimony, song. It is a day where we don't need to say more, but we do need to say it with greater clarity and conviction. And that's born out of revelation. The Bible says of Jesus, he didn't cry out or raise his voice, and yet it was said about him, nobody's ever spoke like this guy. He speaks with one with authority. If you have authority, you don't have to raise your voice. And it's a day for all of us to deepen our convictions and to speak with greater authority in what we really believe.